Hi, and welcome to the Hot Literati. The Hot Literati is a collective of hot, cool, well-read people. My name is Halo, and I'm so happy that you are here. So this is going to be pretty, I think, like, quick-ish. But today we're going to be talking, like, social media and friendship. Yeah, and there's one book I want to cite so bad, but they sent me an ARC copy, which is an advanced reader copy. It's, like, a copy before the actual book comes out. And when I was, like, early, you know, like, on social media a year, like, 2 years ago, I used to be so excited to receive them, because it is, like, cool to be seen as someone with, like, influence in a space, but it is also, like, so frustrating, because publishers never pay, like, Big Five publishers hardly ever pay people to talk about the books. They just, like, send copies of the book, which, in my opinion, since outlets like, if we can even call it an outlet, because it's very, like, ephemeral and strange still, but, like, Hot Literati or, like, your favorite, like, creator in some book space online, usually that's, like, a very small team or a one-person show, so they're expecting free labor out of someone with so much less, like, power and resources in an industry, and it's not, like, a beauty product where you can just, like, try it out for a day or two, decide if you like it, and maybe post. It's, like, a book that you actually have to spend hours reading, so I get a little bit frustrated with the way that that works a bit, and people are always like, oh, they should be paying, but they should also be giving writers a significantly larger cut of the sales of their own books and their own intellectual work. And now I'm gonna get off my soapbox and we're gonna talk about social media while I reference this book that I'm not prepared to name drop yet. Yeah, so there's been a lot of literature about social media in the past, like, 10-15 years, first being, like, iGen by Jean Twenge, which I think everyone knows how I feel about that at this point. Like, I think she makes, like, some really valid arguments, and she has great data, but her arguments are a little more, like, observations after the fact instead of, like, predictions for the future and solutions. And I think tonally it's a bit condescending. I always cite this joke where she calls Gen Z generation pussy because we're afraid of everything. When we were, like, the first generation to be inundated with this, like, strange digital world at a time when our brains were, like, the most malleable. So, yeah, I think, like, she has really interesting data, but she just has, like, she has to have, or she, like, chose to have a strong, condescending argument in order to sell the book, I guess. And then I think the internet is so interesting because it is this, like, new emerging realm of, like, study, but you do have this really rich canon of sci-fi literature, especially sci-fi lit from the 60s and 70s. It's, like, so wonderful, and 80s when you think about, like, Octavia Butler, even more recently, like, N.K. Jemisin, but we also have, like Turing writing about predictions, like Stanislaw Lem, and these, like, house names and, like, sci-fi and this really heady sect of philosophical, like, tech lit. So yeah, I think, like, or even Borges, some of his short stories, which were curated in The Mind's Eye by Douglas Hofstadter, get at this, like, liminal feeling of, like, tech and creation. Because I was having the most wonderful conversation with my friend Kara, who, she's half of the digital book club Beltrist, and we were talking about how tech is, like, the creation of a second self. You have a social media account, you are essentially creating a second self, and this is a theme that comes up in some of my fiction that I haven't really, like, shared because it's just not ready yet. And I think we all experienced that. Like, we had a digital coming of age in tandem with our actual coming of age, and it was, like, quite strange. And the line between those two worlds was blurred first for us, like, starting so young, and then has continued to be blurred for, like, literally the entire world. And we've seen it happening before our eyes. We've seen, like, entire industries be affected in really strange ways. And I think we have the tendency to, like, externalize or to think, like, oh, like, what is it doing to the children, instead of looking inward and thinking, like, what is it doing to me? What do I have control over? Like, what is it doing to my relationships, my relationship to myself, to others, to the world? And, yeah. So I, per the title of this episode, I started unfollowing, like, a ton of people online, and not not out of like spite or anything, but because I was like actually fascinated with my relationship to these people and my relationship to my digital relationship to them. Like, it's crazy that as I was going through, like, psychologically, I would think, like, oh, no, but I have, like, this one connection to this person, or, like, we had this, like, one conversation one time, which is really beautiful. But I think that social media a lot of the time can function as, like, this crutch where it's, like, oh, we have this, like, liminal digital connection. Like, the connection is there in the case that, like, they do want to reach out, or I do want to reach out someday, and then no one has to do any of the actual, like, relational labor to maintain an actual relationship. And the book that I have an ARC copy of, that I'm trying to get the author on, like, a Hot Literati channel, so that there's some sort of, like, reciprocal conversation instead of just free labor on one side, talks about this issue of us having, like, so many more quote-unquote connections and friends and followers, like, you know, different outlets call them different things, like, they're followers on some, like, LinkedIn, you have, like, connections, even though maybe it's, like, someone who went to your school who you've never spoken to a day in your life. And I think this funnel works two ways, which is super interesting. This is one of my obsessions with, like, some of the IRL planning I do for Hot Literati, and we've definitely, like, forayed more into events and things based in New York currently, with hopefully, like, more things to come soon. But the funnel works, like, two ways, right? Like, there's digital to IRL or IRL to digital. And digital to IRL, I think, is so fascinating because we are still, like, this generation that had, like, little seminars in the library that were, like, don't even use your real name online. Like, the internet is this, like, crazy space, and you have to be careful because you're going to get on it and you're going to get kidnapped. And I think I wrote about this a little bit in Hot Literati at White Horse Tavern, talking about this person I, like, was seeing, who's a bit older, and this, like, dinner with him, and reflecting on what it's like to date someone who's older, and reflecting on what it was like to be, like, a teenage girl on the internet as well, because, you know, we were, like, fully in situations where it was, like, extremely common for us to be groomed. And you look at the way the internet still functions, and we still have this commodification of youth. There are obviously little to no, like, safe rails for youth or, like, children either. A classmate of mine who was in my eating club at school, like, did her thesis on the YouTube algorithm and what it does to children. And it's actually, like, quite terrifying because I recently got another tattoo, and even, like, my tattoo artist was talking about his child, who I think is, like, 3, and his child being served content, like, by the algorithm as he's watching these, like, children's videos that are actually, like, quite violent in nature. And he has to, like, monitor that because it's not built into the infrastructure of these, like, tech companies, which is actually crazy. So yeah, like, we could have a conversation about what it's doing to, like, the babies, but obviously what I feel like some sort of ethos to speak on is my own experience on the internet, which, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming is, like, somewhat similar to yours. So yeah, I remember being, like, a girl on Instagram, a girl on Facebook, and getting a comment from, like, an account that was, like, some sort of stranger. And I think teenage girlhood is obviously, like, fascinating. I write about it a lot in fiction. I just don't think fiction belongs online, and I'm, again, like, not ready yet. But when you're a teenage girl, like, it's one of the most confusing and, like, fraught human identities, I'm convinced. And no matter what you want, like, external validation, you want someone to look at you and be like, you're okay, or you want someone to look at you and be like, you're human. And for the internet to be the space where people could not only do that, but strangers could be like, oh, like, you're really pretty, and strangers could give you, like, this type of gratification that came in this way that maybe felt, like, safer because they weren't actually there, and you didn't have to encounter any of, like, the social vulnerability of actually having a conversation with someone. I think we all know the internet was, like, a rampant, you know, space to get groomed on. And I remember being 16 and this like random dude who fully was in my like state, like was a real person in Kansas, started like messaging me on Facebook and like wanted to call me and like all these things. And I was 16. I was like super awkward. I was a really shy kid. So to have some sort of validation from someone who was like, oh, like you're special, and was like older, I was floored. I was like, oh, okay. And I thank God that when this was happening, I was actually on a spring break trip. My parents were always like super adamant about having my brother and I like travel and see different parts of the world, because they didn't necessarily get to growing up. And that's why like a huge goal of mine is to provide that opportunity for my parents someday. Because they were, like, great about that when my brother and I were growing up. So I was on this, like, spring break trip in France at the time that really expanded, like, my horizons of what I thought was possible for myself as, like, a little girl or, like, teenage girl at this point in Kansas. And this guy was, like, trying to call me and da-da-da. And, again, like, thank God I was not there in Kansas, because I can only imagine what that may have been like if I was actually, like, poorly accessible to this person. So yeah, like the internet as a teenage girl was a like physically dangerous, but also just like psychologically dangerous. And I think almost every day about the implications of like having gone through that again at this time when your brain is like literally the most malleable. And I'm not a neurologist, but I like genuinely wonder if you compare the brain of someone in Gen Z to the brain of someone in a generation that did not grow up with this, or maybe someone who doesn't actually like use tech this in this like sort of involved way. Like I'm genuinely curious if there's like some sort of like neurological difference. So that's my rant about like a digital coming of age. But where I'm at now, like I think I've talked a lot about my relationship to social media, especially in the last episode on like celebrity and fame and what I think it's doing to art and how I think it's devolving. So I don't think I have like a textbook relationship with social media, but I think that we all kind of have a similar relationship, because it psychologically does the same things. It's supposed to make you crave attention and like interact with like content in the same exact ways, right? So I think it's fair to say we're kind of all in the same boat, and the boat is tough. But I think there's this question of like social media relationships, right? Like you might be following like 1,000 people, but how many of those people have you talked to in the past year? How many of those people like know the things that you're actually passionate about, and not because you're posting about it, but because you're like having a conversation with them about it? And I find it like super fascinating. Like the other day I was at this bar with a few friends, and a friend of a friend was there who I'd never met before, but she thought we had met because of social media, because she'd like seen so much, she'd seen like a lot of my content, but I'd never met her before. And that's just the type of like interpersonal thing that would never have been possible to this degree without social media, because it creates again like a separate self, and someone can know like one of you before they know the you that's like walking around and having like an actual conscious and like inner dialogue. So yeah, I think it's like nuts. And I also think that I was thinking about today how social media is also like this unique front with regards to tech, obviously, but the way that we use it every single day is what I mean. Like, we have social media, and then we have, like, phone, right? And phone is, like, the square, and social media is, like, the rectangle. So we have, like, phone, and phone also has, like, text and call, and usually, like, text and call, like, your good friends. And then we have social media, and it's so interesting to me that social media has this like built-in infrastructure of false relational accountability. Like people can see if you've opened a DM, like you can see who's viewed your story, so you can see that like your friend hasn't texted you back, but they viewed your story. And I don't know if this is just like my friends or like my demographic, but I feel as if people treat social media and like DMs as if it's a little more like urgent to be there, right? Like people are so much more likely to like post on their story than they are to text back all of the people that they're texting or to like call back people. And I don't know if it's because we still have this semblance of social media as a space on the internet that's like fun and like recreational, even though I think for a majority of people it's really not. Like I feel like culturally we are at the point where we're just kind of like burnt out, and most people are like voyeurs on the internet and they're not like posting. But it's interesting to still like be a voyeur to your friend's story before you text them back. And another point of this, I don't know if I'm biased because I do have like a lot of friends who are creators and things, but I think there's this question of like looping in like friends and fans, right? Like I, for example, I don't think I've ever been super comfortable with a lot of attention. I don't know if it's because I was a shy kid, but like I always say like I like attention being directed toward me, but not like right at me. I like attention's nice. I am a Libra, but I like attention for like something that I've done that I'm proud of, that I feel like is been done well. Like Hot Literati, for example, is a digital community. Like it's not synonymous with me. So when someone expresses like gratitude or appreciation for Hot Literati, that makes me feel so like proud and happy. Because it's not me. But if someone is like, oh, like you are so like XYZ, I get a little bit bashful. So that being said, I never expect people to like know what's going on in my life. I'm not the type of person to post like literal details, like what's going on in my life, what I'm doing. I was at one point when I was like deep in the pageant world, but yeah, I'm just like not there anymore. So when someone comments on something that was like on my story or comments on something that is a part of like my digital self, I'm always taken aback. Like I don't expect the people, especially people in my life, like people I'm very close to know what's going on in my life based on what's online. But I feel like that's not always the case with the way that people use social media. I feel like you do have instances of like people who post a lot of their personal details online, so then there isn't this like one-on-one relational component that's like, let me catch you up. It's like you're not meeting up with your friend after a week and being like, oh, okay, like this is what happened this week, because maybe they expect you to watch their story every single day and like no, almost like a fan base of some sort. So I know the one thing Gene Twenge argues a lot is that narcissism is up. Narcissism just being defined as like excessive thinking about the self. And I don't disagree with this, but I think it's kind of like lazy to define that and leave it there. Like I think we could also loop in like, I know it's such a buzzword, but we could honestly loop in like AI too, because I think there's this question of like thinking about ourselves by nature of constructing a digital self, and then thinking about ourselves relating to other people at the same time as thinking about like our digital selves relating to other digital people. Because I know there are all those memes about like watching your story through the lens of someone else, right? Like we are thinking about ourselves more, but it's not even in this like self-possessed way of like, oh, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I'm doing. It's in this like weird distorted sense of like, this is who I am, this is who I am to other people, this is who I am to other people online, this is how they see me, this is how I feel because this is how they see me. And it's created this like extremely dissociative narcissism that I think we all know is like bad for everyone, but because it is so psychologically addictive, it's just a tough nut to crack. So that's why like unfollowing people, I kind of, as almost as like a joke, want to unfollow everyone, but like something stupid, like I don't know, like a Dostoevsky fan account or something, because I think it's a good exercise and really like questioning my relationship to the internet, questioning my relationship to my digital self, to like other people and other people on the internet. Because if I'm like scared to unfollow this person because we had like a great conversation 3 years ago, but we also haven't talked in 3 years, like is that a real relationship at that point? Or is this like, a testimony to the fact that we've all essentially created, like, I think, like, Kara called it, like, Sims. Like, we all have Sims at this point, and they're just, like, sitting in the little house waiting for you to, like, open your phone and, like, DM the Sim that lives in another state that you've, like, never met, you know? And I think, not to be, like, completely cynical, I think the digital IRL funnel is beautiful, like, can be beautiful, and we could expound this whole topic of, like, what meeting someone's digital self does, how it has, like, these preconceived notions, and then you, like, go, and you can be, like, surprised by someone in really unique ways. And I do have a lot of friends that I've been, like, connected to via the internet, but I personally try to keep, like, the internet interactions as, like, minimal as possible, just because I don't like to spend time, like, connecting with people there, because I think, like, it's just, it's so dissociative, and we get, like, one life, and I think there's something to, like, trying to use your Sim as little as possible so you can be in, like, the self that you have and, like, sit there with yourself and think about who you are, what you want, how you relate to other people, like, the actual relationships in your life. And I think I've written about this somewhere, maybe just in, like, notes to myself, to be honest, but I remember growing up watching, like, rom-coms, like, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, all these movies about, like, childhood friendship, coming of age, and having this, like, deep, deep, deep sense of longing, and this, like, deep sense that I was, like, missing something, because I did have, like, close girlfriends growing up, but it never felt close in the way that, like, those films made it feel. And I understand that film is always, like, aspirational. Film and television are never going to be entirely realistic, because then they're not, like, film and television anymore. But at the same time, I think Twenge's research actually really supports this idea that, like, we did not have a childhood like that. Like, we didn't have a childhood that was, like, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, because we were literally, like, inside on our phones and computers more. So, like, being in a chat room with your friend is not the same thing as being in a room, like, actually talking to your friend. Like, your brain, your heart, like, those things do react extremely differently. And I think, like, even though, you know, we had, like, 12 likes on our photo at 12, like, 12 likes is very different. It's a very different type of a relationship than actually having, like, a couple of extremely close friends that you, like, go through school and go through these, like, coming of age trials and tribulations with. So I do feel like, I know there's this, like, really shallow topic happening, this shallow discussion happening on the internet right now about, like, the quote-unquote friendship pandemic, and a lot of people, or the friendship issue, or whatever they're calling it, and a lot of people are attributing this, like, the pandemic and the fallout of the pandemic, but I think it's so much deeper and so much earlier than that. I think it actually does start with, like, our childhoods. Like, I don't think we know how to create friendships in the same way. I don't think we know how to relate to one another in the same way, and I think we've created this, like, culture in which it's extremely normal to hold people at an arm's length, because so much of the planning happens, like, online. Like, I think it's easier to flake out on people than it probably was, like, pre-smartphone social media, because now we also have this expectation of, like, oh, we're gonna, like, text to make plans, and then we're gonna, like, text the day before. And I know, like, everyone has that situation where you, like, make plans with someone, but, like, no one says anything leading up to it, whereas I wonder, like, culturally, if that was just, like, a one phone call thing and then both people showed up. I don't know, it's not, like, the world I grew up in, it's not the world a lot of us grew up in, but it's one that I, like, look back at in media, and I'm like, oh, that looks really, really nice. Yeah, so that was just, that's where my mental is right now with, like, social media, relationships, and friendship. And I would encourage you to, like, take a look at your following list, not in a way of, like, oh, like, my ratio needs to be good, but, like, in a very pragmatic sense of, like, what is your relationship to your account? What is your relationship to your connections to these people? Like, why are you following the people that you're following? How are you using social media? Is it like a net good for your life? Is it something you want to keep? Is it something you can like mitigate and put parameters on? Like, I would advocate again and again for social media office hours, like get on it once a day. And like, what types of interactions can you swap your social media interactions with other people for to actually create like fulfilling relationships and a fulfilling life? Because relationships, the Atlantic did like so many studies on happiness in the past year or so, and relationships, especially platonic relationships, are like so important for well-being and like a long life. So I would just encourage everyone to make a little exercise of this because I think it can be quite helpful. And I'm going to shut up for the evening and go to bed. I hope you all enjoyed this, and please like let me know what you think. Let me know if you have any thoughts spiraling off of this, what your relationship is to like friendship in the internet, and we will chat soon. Bye bye.